Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, 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 it's Monty. Welcome to the Rock Cast.
This is explosive!
So glad you could join me for the next 50 minutes or so, give or take a few. I've got all sorts of things planned today. I'm going to answer some more of your questions, as well as some random stuff from Facebook. And I'm going to do a lot more Make Me Choose.
Oh, no!
Yeah, it was such a huge hit with you guys that I even had some of you email me your suggestions. And one such person to do so was none other than Jimmy G.
Who that?
That's right, you heard me correctly. Play the theme song.
He's from Chicago. He's a champion. He's got some questions for a top 10. Jimmy G.
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G sounds sassy and sweet and cool.
You know, I literally get thousands of emails every single day of my life asking me the same question. Hey, Monty, why does Jimmy G get a theme song and I don't? Well, it's because month after month, week after week, and day after day, Jimmy G sends me great questions, great top tens, and great ideas. So much so that I think after I announce my retirement from podcasting one of these days, Jimmy G will take over, and he will call it Jimmy G's Rockcast. But until that day, I will just continue to let him supply me with great podcast fodder. And this particular time, he has sent me some choices for Make Me Choose. And the first one is Nickelback or Poison?
Hell yeah!
Wow, well that is a tough one, Jimmy G. I'd have to really think about this one because, as you know, I don't really care for either one of these bands. And it's funny that you would mention Nickelback and Poison because recently they have both had live concerts that I've watched on TV. And the thing that I noticed about both of these groups is that I think both bands have gone country. I mean, I can remember a time when Nickelback was almost halfway heavy, but now it seemed like half their set was ballads and acoustic guitars. And of course, with Poison, you get Every Rose Has Its Thorns.
Yep.
And you give me something to believe in.
Yeah!
And I was like, where'd they shoot this video at? The Grand Ole Opry?
Yep.
So I don't know. Nickelback is probably more talented, while Poison is just brainless fun. But if you absolutely forced me to pick between which band I would listen to, just like their CD, I don't know. I guess I'll go with Nickelback.
What? I can't believe I'm hearing this.
Yeah, it was a tough choice. I'm just saying. But the next one that Jimmy G wants me to choose between is UFO or Rainbow. And once again, oh my God, this is tough. Except in this situation, I love both bands. I got to see Rainbow back in the late 70s with Ronnie James Dio on vocals, and, you know, it was incredible. Richie Blackmore smashed his guitar at the end of the set. And I also saw UFO around that same time. Michael Schenker was not with them, but Paul Chapman was, and he was excellent. And they did a lot of the stuff from Strangers in the Night, which is one of my favorite live albums of all time. So it's almost a toss-up for me, but I'm going to go with UFO. They had great songs. They had Michael Schenker, who's one of my favorites. And I even like some of the stuff they did after he left.
Crawling out into the night. There's someone else out
Jimmy G also wanted me to choose between Elton John and Billy Joel.
There's not much difference.
Okay, well, I don't think I've actually ever owned an album by either one of them, but they both have songs that I really like, and they both have songs that I really don't like. With Elton John, I loved a bunch of that stuff on Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. I liked older stuff like Daniel. That was an amazing song. And I even like stuff like I'm Still Standing, even though the video was, I don't know what you'd call it.
Flaming!
Now, as far as Billy Joel, there were probably a few songs that I liked by him, but Uptown Girl.
Oh, man, that's bad.
It's Still Rock and Roll to Me.
Ugh!
Tell Her About It and The Longest Time.
Oh, God!
No. I've got to go Elton John all the way on this one.
I'm okay with that.
Now, here's another tough one from Jimmy G. It's Journey or Foreigner, and I could go either way. I liked Foreigner's first two albums, and I even saw him a couple of times, but these days there's only one original member left in that band.
That's always kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Now, as far as Journey, I liked some of their early stuff, like Wheel in the Sky. That was cool. But then they started making really bad videos and cheesy ballads. So between these two, I don't know, I guess I'll go with Foreigner. I could still probably sit down and listen to that first album, but you could not get me to go see them live now.
Sounds like you have mental problems, man.
Now, as if that wasn't enough, Jimmy G has also sent me some bonus Make Me Choose. And these are of the non-band variety. For instance, Jimmy is also a bass player, and so he wants me to choose between Ampeg or Galleon Kruger.
That is so incredibly exciting.
Well, I actually had a little bitty Galleon Kruger head back in the Morgan Cryer Awful Truth days, and that thing sounded amazing. And I didn't use any effects, I just plugged straight into it, and it sounded like I was crushing a piano with a sledgehammer. But it eventually broke down, and I couldn't find anything like it, and so I just went to Ampegs, and I've been real happy with those since. So I will say Ampeg. But how about guitar heads? Jimmy says Marshall or Mesa Boogie? Well, I would say it depends. I think for rock and roll guitar, it's hard to beat a Marshall, but I actually use a Boogie guitar head for the high end of my bass, and I endorse Boogie, so I will go with Boogie.
Okay, terrific.
The next one is, which brand do you like? Is it Fender or Gibson? Well, I own a Fender P bass. I don't use it that much, but as far as guitars, God, you cannot beat a Gibson Les Paul. They sound great and they look so cool.
You don't have any proof.
Okay, this next one is pretty good. I have to choose between Ann Wilson or Nancy Wilson. And once again, that's kind of a tough one. You know, early on, I was all about Ann Wilson. When I was in college, I had her poster up on my wall, and I thought she was really hot, and then she kind of started putting on some weight, and she was not so hot.
Huge!
She still had a great voice, but just not quite as attractive. But then in the 80s, I started noticing Nancy, because I don't know if she got a boob job or what was going on there, but all of a sudden, wow.
Stacked.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with younger Ann and older Nancy.
This is getting downright weird.
All right, so thanks to Jimmy G for that. Always good to hear from him. And I'll try to do some more Make Me Choose later, but right now I'm going to do something that I also really enjoy. It's Facebook questions. And kind of like it sounds, these are questions that people throw out there on Facebook, and I steal them, and I'm going to answer them on my show. So here's the first one. It is, what would you do if you won the lottery? Well, the first thing I would do would be instantly retire from everything. In fact, you probably wouldn't see me again, except for the occasional picture I would throw up on Facebook where I'm hanging out at a nude beach in Jamaica.
I don't want to see that!
The next thing I would do would be buy a really nice car, because I have been driving around a piece of shit automobile for the last 4 years. I call it the Hellmobile. It's held together with duct tape and it smells of burning oil when I stop the engine.
Wow!
So yeah, I would buy a new vehicle. It doesn't have to be anything fancy like a sports car, but I would hope that it would be dependable and wouldn't smell like it was on fire.
It would be so nice!
Another thing I would do if I won the lottery would be I'd fly around the country going to ball games. For instance, I'd like to see a basketball game at Madison Square Garden in New York, and I'd like to see an NBA game at Boston Garden. And by the way, why are they called gardens? They're arenas. But I'd like to also see a game at Yankee Stadium and, you know, just basically hop around the whole United States and go to stadiums and ballparks.
Wow, what a waste.
But the thing is I kind of feel like I already won the lottery. When I turned 50 years old, I was miserable, I was going nowhere in my life. And that's when I met my wife, Lindsay, and she kind of changed everything for me. She brought love into my life, and I was suddenly happy to be alive. So as it turns out, love is actually more valuable than money. But at the same time, I wouldn't mind winning the lottery.
Just give me a break. Get a job, man.
The next question from Facebook is, have you ever listened to a song and broke down and cried? Well, yeah, I have.
You little wimp.
Yeah. Well, before you go and get all judgmental on me, I don't think I'm the only one. In fact, I know I'm not, because the other day I had a guy email me and he said, hey, I was listening to your crunchy song, Lift You Up. And he says, you know, while I was listening to it, I just started crying because it made me think of my kid. And I told him, yeah, dude, I understand, because I wrote that song about my daughter Zoe and I've actually cried to it. But it actually wasn't the first song I'd written about her. I had one on my first crunchy album, All Day Sucker, called Didn't. And I hadn't heard it in years, and the other day I put it on, and I was listening, and all of a sudden, here come the tears! I didn't mean to treat you bad. I didn't mean to make you cry. And I didn't mean to make you mad at me. This is a song that probably a lot of you haven't even heard before. I wrote it around 99 or 2000, about the time my daughter was just a baby. And when she was just a few months old, she was what they call colicky. I had never heard of this term before then, but it turns out it's when they just cry all the time. And one of the ways I distracted her and made her quit crying was I would get down beside her, she'd be laying on the floor, and I would just play my acoustic guitar. And I ended up writing a couple of songs, and this was one of them. I talked about this album a couple of episodes ago, and I told you that some of the Galactic Cowboy fans were a little disappointed, it wasn't very metal, and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it was pretty pop, and maybe a little Weezer-ish for people, But you gotta understand that a lot of this was me expressing myself during the first year of my fatherhood. It was all new and it was a little bit scary. And being a father actually brought out a lot of insecurities in me. And at first, Zoe didn't really seem that crazy about me. And I was trying everything I knew of to make her happy, but all she wanted was her mom. And so when I listen now to these words, it reminds me of just how bad I wanted her to love me. And it reminds me of how much I still love her.
And I want you to love me so bad. When I don't think you want me. When it makes me so sad. I want you to love me so bad. When I don't think you want me. When it's making me so sad.
So that is the total and emotional breakdown of the song Didn't. I probably should have called it Zoe, but I didn't. Yeah, see what I did there? Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that song, but if you didn't, I don't really care. You see, sometimes as an artist or songwriter, you just write and, if nobody likes it, well, so be it. It's a song that I put a lot of my heart into, and I like it, and that's good enough for me. I recently got an email from Gary in Baltimore. Gary is a good guy, he's a good dad, and he's a good drummer in a prog rock band. But way more important than all of that, he also listens to my show. And he has sent me a top 10 list of the top 10 reasons why Monty Colvin is cooler than you.
And I don't think that's true.
Oh, well, I must say, this sounds like an excellent list. So let's get right to it with number 10. He wears badass leather Chuck Taylors. Well, yeah, I've been a Converse guy for years, and I do have a leather pair, and I usually pull them out for special occasions. But over the years, I've actually found that they're not that great for your feet.
Amazing info.
Number 9 is he's got pretty cool hair, especially for an old dude.
Old enough to be labeled a fossil.
Well, yeah, I've still got the big mop of hair. It's still hanging in there, and I guess I'll keep it as long as I can. I'll probably have to cut it off someday. I don't know when, but, my wife really likes it long, so that's why I keep it long, actually.
Pussy whipped!
At number 8, another reason why Gary thinks I'm cooler than you is my disregard for political correctness and how you feel about it. And I would say that's probably true. I try not to offend too many people, but at the same time, I hate political correctness. I think it's ruining the world and painting us all into a corner, and eventually everyone's going to be afraid to say anything.
I find this offensive.
Number 7, Gary thinks I'm cool because I am friends with Ben Huggins, and that guy is mega cool. Well, yes, I do think Ben is a cool guy, but I do have to say this. He wears man sandals. And I don't mean the kind of flip-flops you wear to the beach. I'm talking full-on brown leather Jesus of Nazareth mandals.
I'm appalled by this.
Anyway, you be the judge, but that would bring us to number 6. Monty is cool because he plays a mean bass. And that is true. None of this nice, kind bass. It's mean.
It will kill you.
At number 5, whoa, check this out. Gary thinks I'm an incredibly handsome man.
Whoa.
He says, this must be true. How else could he score such a hot wife? Well, Gary, that is very nice of you to say. And I know when people see me with Lindsay, they're probably wondering, how did that happen?
That's correct.
And I'm sure people also probably think that it was because I was in Galactic Cowboys.
Could be.
But actually, no, she didn't even know who Galactic Cowboys were before she met me. But she apparently found something attractive about me. I'm still trying to figure that out, but I'm a very lucky man.
That's right, jerk.
Another reason why Gary thinks I'm cool, at number four, he's an excellent songwriter. Well, thanks again, Gary. I appreciate that. At number three, he hosts the greatest podcast in the history of mankind.
I mean, it's average.
Number two is Monty will invite a fan who is otherwise a total stranger to come to his house, then take them for a ride in his Hellmobile to go have some tacos. Then, as an added bonus, he throws in a quick stop at Walmart on the way back. How cool is that?
How weird is that?
Of course, Gary is referring to the time he came to Kansas City, and yeah, we went and had some tacos. And then he actually came a second time with Chris in Baltimore, and we all went for some barbecue. And so, yes, it has happened.
Wow, that is so incredibly creepy.
And finally, the number one reason why Monty Colvin is cooler than you, he is a member of the Galactic Cowboys. Well, Gary, that was truly an amazing list, and Gary wanted me to know that this in no way was a blatant attempt to butter up the judge of the top 10 playoffs. He says, I mean, who would brown nose in such a way? Certainly not me. Well, no, Gary, I don't think you're trying to suck up to me in order to increase your chances of winning an amazing prize package. I think you made a list that was just mainly factual. And more than anything, I just really appreciate your honesty.
You and I both know that's crapola.
All right, let's do another round of Make Me Choose. These came from Facebook. And the first one is Kiss or Alice Cooper. Well, I like Alice Cooper, but I gotta go Kiss. Their first two live albums were great. I liked Love Gun. I liked a lot of that stuff. And I love Gene Simmons. So I will definitely say Kiss. Yeah! Next one is Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians or 10,000 Maniacs. Well, I guess I'm like most people. I like that song, I'm Not Aware of Too Many Things. Yeah, that was kind of a cool song. But unfortunately, that's the only song I know from Edie Brickell. However, I hated 10,000 Maniacs. Oh my god. It was just kind of trendy stuff that yuppies would like. And I also couldn't stand the way Natalie Merchant sang. She just seemed like she was mumbling through everything, so this is easy. I'm going with Edie Brickell.
You hippie!
Another one that somebody threw out there was Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera. Both of them used to be hot little pop stars whose music I hated equally. So this is going to have to come down to intangibles. Like, Britney doesn't sing that well, but she doesn't do all those annoying vocal runs like Christina does.
What?
You know, all the...
I just hate that.
Yeah. And she also does this weird thing with her hands on the microphone as she sings, and that really irritates me. So once again, this is kind of a toss-up, but you know, the one thing I remember about Britney Spears that I liked was that first video she did, she wore a schoolgirl outfit. And Catholic schoolgirl outfits are awesome.
Yeah.
So I've got to go with Britney Spears.
I think everybody needs to go take a cold shower.
The next one is Justin Bieber or Miley Cyrus. Well, to begin with, they're both horrible human beings, and I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
But musically, I would actually pick Miley over Justin Bieber because I've never heard one single song by Justin Bieber that I liked. And there's actually been one or two by Miley Cyrus that were okay.
How can this possibly be?
When she was going under the name of Hannah Montana, she did this song called Start All Over. And for a pop song, it actually wasn't bad. Had a pretty rockin' riff in it. Well, who knew that Hannah Montana would grow up, take her clothes off, and smoke a lot of weed? Well, not me, that's for sure. But at least she never grew a mullet or sang a song as horrible as Achy Breaky Heart like her dad did. And so when you look at it that way, this song really isn't that bad, now is it?
I think it is.
What the hell was that?
Yeah, I know some of you guys are going to email me and go, hey, you've played that song on your show before. And, well, you're right, I have, but a good tune is a good tune.
I love it! It's crazy!
Besides, this is the 205th episode I've done. If I repeat myself once in a while, hey, sue me.
Oh, alrighty then.
On second thought, no, don't sue me. Let's do some more Facebook questions, and here's one I found. What is something you are sick of seeing on Facebook?
Everything!
Well, this shouldn't be difficult. Where do I begin? There's so much. Let's see. Well, how about this one? When people wish celebrities happy birthday. I've never really understood why people do this because, you know, the celebrity's never going to know. I mean, even if it's somebody like, Tom Arnold or Pat Sajak, they're not going to be on Facebook roaming around seeing if somebody remembered it was their birthday. And if you're just posting it for me, well, I don't really care that Cher turned 92 today. If you want to wish me happy birthday, well, that's different. That's nice of you. I appreciate it. But movie stars you have never met and never will meet, I don't get it.
The stupidity!
Something else that I'm literally sick of is people posting pictures of their scars. When you've just gotten back from the hospital and you've got about 20 stitches in your knee, you don't need to take a picture of it for me. That's going to make me want to throw up. I also don't need to see severe head wounds. In fact, if you've got any kind of puncture or laceration, you can just keep that to yourself. However, this is almost as bad when people post pictures and then don't tell you what it is. You'll see that they're at some kind of concert and they'll say, so excited, can't wait for this, but then they don't tell you what band they're seeing. On the other hand, if you're just posting a random picture of a hot chick, there's no need to explain. That's fine.
I want to see it!
Along the same lines as posting pictures and then not explaining it, Something that bugs me is when people put up a status update and then they are really vague. Like when all they say is, I'm devastated. Now I'm thinking, oh, did somebody die? Are you really sick? Or did one of your kids just not make the varsity?
Yeah, that's it.
Now, if you're not one of my closest friends, I'm not going to spend a lot of time worrying about it. But next time, you might just want to give us a little more info. I'm just saying. It's kind of like when my wife leaves me a text message that says, oh my God, this is bad, and it turns out that she's just lost a contact lens.
This is terrible.
Something else I'm sick of on Facebook is people misspelling, abbreviating everything, and not using punctuation.
I'm outraged.
I don't know how lazy we've gotten as a society, but could we just put a little bit of effort into it? I'm not the world's greatest speller myself, but there is spell check. And if you're going to post something for the whole world to see, how about just proofreading it so we can kind of decipher what you're trying to say? I'm not saying you need a college degree in English in order to make a comment on Facebook. But could you at least form a couple of coherent sentences so we don't think you're a moron?
I am not capable.
Something else I hate about Facebook is that they've decided to start broadcasting Major League Baseball games. I already pay about $1,000 a month for cable. I don't want to be forced to watch my team on my computer or on my phone. It's already hard enough watching the Kansas City Royals lose every day without having to see them do it on a 2-inch screen that freezes every 2 minutes. So please, Facebook, get out of baseball and go back to doing what you do best. Gathering information on people and spying on us.
Yes!
And finally, the thing that I'm probably the most sick of on Facebook is all the anti-Trump bashing. Yes, you've got the right to speak your mind and you're entitled to your own opinion. And I'm not going to tell you you have to believe like I do. But I will ask you for this one small favor. If you're going to view yourself as a well-rounded, well-informed, political know-it-all, would you please, for the love of God, not base all of your political views on what you've been told by the far-left liberal media? Mix in some podcasts, some talk radio, and stop believing every single thing that those lying scumbags on CNN have to say. If you do that, and you still want me to unfriend you if I don't agree with your opinion, well, I will be glad to oblige.
We don't need lectures from you, you creep.
Moving on to the next question from Facebook, it's, what is a TV show you have seen every episode of? Oh, wow. Well, this one may be a tough one because, you see, I don't really watch that much TV because I'm really more of a reader.
That's a lie.
Why?
Don't lie.
No, I am. I am more of a reader, or at least I like people to think so. But let me think here. Going back to my youth, I'd have to say Andy Griffith, Dick Van Dyke. I saw every episode of The Brady Bunch at least a couple of times.
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha!
I saw every Gilligan's Island. And then when I got a little older, I saw every episode of Charlie's Angels and Three's Company, and I imagine you can guess why.
Naughty.
I also never missed Love Boat or Dukes of Hazzard.
Loser.
And then in the 90s, I watched every single Seinfeld, and now that it's in reruns, I've probably seen every episode maybe 10 times.
Pathetic!
And to this day, I don't believe I've ever missed an episode of Survivor, even though it's not that good anymore.
That's right there with watching soccer.
All right. You know, before I go any further, I wanted to give out a few shout-outs. And the first one is to William Butts. I got an email from William. He's in the Navy, and he said that while he was deployed in Dubai, that he found our Galactic Cowboys album, Long Way Back to the Moon, and that he loves it. He says he also loves my podcast, and that it's helped him get through the last 7 months while he's been deployed. Well, William, thank you so much for your support, man, and thank you for your service. I have so much respect for our military, and I'm so glad that I could give something back to you. You guys do so much for all of us, and we love you. I'd also like to give a big shout out and thank yous to Bennett Crowley, Dirty Dan Wicker, and Denny Linhart for buying the merch and CDs. I'd also like to say a big thank you to Stuart Brancato and Scott Stevens for their kind donations. And I really don't even know what to say other than thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Now let's go to something else.
Okay, so I had a couple of questions from you guys. First one was from Steve Cadelli del Signor on Facebook, who I will refer to from now on as Steve in New York. And he wanted to know about the first tour that Galactic Cowboys ever did. He said he saw us open for King's X at Saratoga Winners in New York in 89. And Steve said it was supposed to be the Masters of Reality opening that show, but we replaced them, and he wondered what the deal was. Yeah, Steve, I remember that, and we'd only been together a few months at that point. We'd been doing demos and writing a lot of stuff, but we'd only played a couple of shows. And one night I was over at Ben's, and I think Alan was over there too, and we were just having dinner, and all of a sudden I get this phone call. And it was our manager, Sam Taylor, and he said, "Hey, can you guys get to Cincinnati? I want you to open the rest of the shows on this King's X tour." He said the opening band, Masters of Reality, just broke up, and there's no opener, and do you guys want to go do it? And I said, "Oh my God, that would be awesome." And so I talked to Ben, and he was like, "Well, I've got a station wagon we could tour in." And we were like, "Okay, let's go." And the next thing we knew, the four of us were in Ben's Vista Cruiser station wagon heading towards Cincinnati. Well, we didn't make it in time for that show. But the following night, we played in Detroit. And I'll never forget because we opened with a song called In the Clouds. And there wasn't anybody standing in front of us. All the people were just in the back by pool tables. And when we got done with that first song, you could have heard a pin drop. And I thought, oh, okay, so this is how it is in the big time. And I felt a little uncomfortable at that point, so I just walked up to the mic and I said, "And a great silence fell upon the crowd."
What an ignorant thing to say.
And, you know, I was basically mocking the situation and being a smartass. But to be fair, you know, no one knew who we were. We didn't have an album out, we weren't signed, and so, you know, I guess that's to be understood. And so we just went ahead and played the rest of our set. And when I got backstage, Ty Tabor from King's X was back there. And he goes, "Hey, Monty, I loved what you said out there on the mic." And I said, "Yeah, what was that?" And he said, "When you went up there and said, 'And a great sandwich fell upon the ground,' that was hilarious." And I told him, well, that's not actually what I said, but I kind of like that better.
You just can't help but laugh.
The good news is that as the tour progressed, the shows got a lot better. The crowds didn't always know what to think of us, but we could tell they were starting to dig it. And when we got to Poughkeepsie, New York, we were playing this place called The Chance, and we heard that some of the people from Megaforce Records were going to be there. And we played our set, and we were out in the back alley loading up our gear because, you know, we didn't have any roadies or anything. And all of a sudden, this big guy named Johnny Zazula came walking out and introduces himself. And, of course, I realized that this is the guy that signed Anthrax, who discovered Metallica. And I'm like, "Hey, how's it going?" And he says, "I'm just trying to figure out what I just saw." And we're like, "Yeah?" And he's like, "Yeah, that was amazing. How would you guys like to sign with my label?" And we were like, "Wow, yeah, we'd love to talk about that." And he turns around and starts to walk off, and I'm like, "Nice to meet you." And he's like, "Yeah, yous too, I guess."
He's a nice man.
So we literally had only played about 5 shows, and we already had an offer. And even though we ultimately didn't end up signing with Megaforce Records, we knew we were off to a good start.
That, my friends, is a story.
I also got an email from Eric in Orange County, and he said he was really sad to hear about the passing of Pantera drummer Vinnie Paul. And he said, I know you met those guys in the past. Do you have any good Pantera stories? Well, yeah, Eric, I was really sad to hear about Vinnie Paul passing away also. I actually only met him one time. Lindsay and I were backstage at this festival where Hell Yeah was playing. And she's a huge Pantera fan, so she went over and shook his hand and we met him. And he was real nice. And it just seemed like he was real approachable and he would take a picture with anybody that wanted one with him. And he just seemed like a really good dude. The one thing I will say, and I'm not trying to be insensitive at all, because I loved the guys in Pantera, I hung out with them, they were Texas boys, I used to go see them before they ever got signed. But if you've ever seen any of those Pantera home video DVDs, those guys lived hard. And I have no idea what happened there with Vinnie Paul. I heard he had a heart attack, but that's just really sad. And he will be greatly missed. I mean, he was just an amazing drummer. I do have one quick Pantera story before I go.
Me personally, I can do without it.
Like I said, I used to go see them play in Houston in the clubs before Cowboys from Hell came out. And one Saturday night back then, Doug Pinnick, Alan Doss, and myself went out to see them at this place called Backstage. It was a metal club that wasn't huge, but a lot of cool bands played there. I mean, Galactic Cowboys used to play there, so it must be cool, right?
Wrong!
Oh, well, anyway, take my word for it. It was cool. And on this particular night, we went backstage at Backstage, and we were hanging out. And Doug ends up inviting Phil, Dimebag, and Rex over to his apartment. I don't remember where Vinny was, but it was just the six of us crammed into Doug's little living room. And we were just sitting around listening to music, and Doug says, hey, I've got the Galactic Cowboys first album, you want to hear it? And they were like, hell yeah. And it hadn't been released yet, and no one had really heard it, so I was kind of nervous, like wondering what these guys were going to think. Because, you know, this is Pantera, one of the heaviest bands on Earth. I thought they might think we sucked.
I know I do.
But Doug puts it on, and I look at Phil, and he's just sitting there like, what the hell is this? And I look over at Dimebag, and he's giving me the thumbs up. And I can tell they're just, like, totally digging it. And I gotta say, I was really relieved because we got the seal of approval from Pantera.
This is an interesting story. Because it's so stupid.
Okie dokie. Well, if you want to get a hold of me, you can do so on Facebook or at my website, MontyColvin.net. I've got all kinds of cool pictures on there. I've got my crunchy CDs, and I've got Rockcast t-shirts. I also hope to have some new paintings up there soon, some Gas Fist stuff and things like that. So if you're interested in any of my artwork, let me know.
Yes, 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 you dimwit.
I'm going to play you one last song by a band called The Almost. They are fronted by the drummer and amazing singer from Under Oath, Aaron Gillespie. And I was driving around in Lindsay's car the other day. She actually has a nice car that actually has a stereo. And this song came on her iPod, and I went, wow, I forgot how great that song was. And I thought, you know, I'm going to play that song on the Rockcast.
Why?
Because a lot of people probably don't know about The Almost, but now you will.
What's so remarkable about that?
That's going to do it for me for now, but until next time, this is Monty saying take care, don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me, and
rock on.
Say, what's the hey? Let's say what we need to say.
This has been Monty's Rockcast.
The end.